Okay, great. Good morning to our friends who are joining us online today. So great to have you with us. I just want to mention again real quick that if you live in the area and you don't have a home church of your own, we would love to have you join us. Our Sunday morning gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information, feel free to check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. Good morning. God bless you. So great to have you with us today. Okay, if you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 13. But before we get there, I just want to give a little review of what I've been sharing the past several times. We've been talking a lot about the verse out of James that says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we've been talking about the difference between pride and humility, how pride says, I will put myself in the position of the king and my preferences and the way I want to do things, and I am most important and everything else falls in order behind me, below me, including my relationship with God and with others as well. That's what pride says, and how God actually resists those who choose to walk in pride. But conversely, those who choose to walk in humility, he gives grace to. And we talked about how humility is just the flip of that, where we put Jesus in the proper position on our list of priorities, you might say. We put him number one. He is the king of our lives. He is the one that we submit to, that we come under. And how when we choose to do that, God gives grace to those who take that posture. And so, what seems to be more reasonable to you? What seems to be something that will give you the better outcome, right? It's kind of a no-brainer, right? That this creator of the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence, that yes, he rightfully is the king of my life, and as I choose to submit to him, his grace is now available to me. So we talked about pride and humility. We talked about how the Apostle Paul spoke of those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, how people take the truth and actually hold the truth down rather than exalt the truth or elevate the truth or be a champion of the truth, right? And how we have that choice again to do that. And as we walk in pride, we are more apt to suppress the truth, because if I don't suppress the truth, then what does that mean? That means I need to change my priorities, or I need to change something in my life. And if I'm king, well, why would I have to change anything? Amen? And so we talked about those who suppress the truth, and as they stay on that track, eventually they will exchange the truth for a lie. And how we just kind of go from bad to worse whenever we're on that track. Amen? And we talked about how, I lost my train of thought now. Oh, we talked about the verse where Jesus himself said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free, set you free. And we talked about how, I wonder if the flip of that is true. If we, when we know a lie, the lie, what? Keeps us in bondage. Amen? And so we have nobody to point the finger at. We make the decisions. We are powerful people, and we will put ourselves in the position that we want to put ourselves in, right? If we choose to walk in pride, if we choose to suppress the truth, if we choose to exchange the truth for a lie and end up in bondage, it's nobody's deal but ours, right? But God has so much more for us. God has freedom for us. God has good things in store for us as we choose to walk in humility, as we choose to elevate the truth in our lives, know his truth, and walk in that freedom. Amen? So just a quick quick review. And from there, as our background, we're going to jump into this very familiar parable today in Matthew chapter 13. It's the parable of the sower. And it says right there in verse 3, it says, this is talking about Jesus. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, now this is Jesus, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out, but others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so again, this is a very familiar parable that we have talked about many times over the years. And I want to really hone in on that second scenario that Jesus paints for us. Of course, the first one is those who hear the seed is the word of God. And those who the seed falls by the wayside are those who hear the word, but they don't understand it. And immediately the enemy comes and takes it away. They have no chance of walking in the freedom, of walking and bearing fruit that that word can bring to them, right? And those are those who don't understand, and the enemy takes it away. The third scenario is those that the seed, the word, is sown among the thorns, and that's the cares of the world, and they grow up and they choke out the what would otherwise bear fruit for the kingdom, right? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. That's the third scenario. And of course, the fourth is what we're all shooting for, that the seed that's planted in good ground. And it's very fruitful, 30, 60, 100-fold. But let's jump back to the second scenario, okay? And it says that some seed fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Roots are so important. Roots are very important. Pastor Steve and I were at a conference years ago, and an apostle shared a prophetic word with us that related to CLCC. And part of it was like an activation, like an act of obedience to activate this prophetic word. And the apostle was saying, he was encouraging us to, as a prophetic act, to come back to our church and to plant, in my case it was corn, to plant something, and it was symbolic of what the Lord was going to do in this house. And so I came back, and I was all about this word, right? And I wanted to do my part. I wanted to walk in obedience to activate this word. So I wanted to plant, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 rows of corn. Not anything great, you know, just something symbolic. And so I went out this little strip of grass between our parking lot and Route 11, and I was going to put the corn right there. I could barely get a shovel in the ground. Let me tell you, that is some stony ground. How about it, Pastor Steve? I'm telling you, I needed dynamite if I was going to dig in there. It was that stony. It was that hard. It was that, I mean, you couldn't grow anything in that. I mean, we have grass, but there must be like the thinnest layer of soil that that grass is growing in. Because I can tell you, there are a lot of stones and a lot of rocks and a lot of stuff that is not conducive to growing corn. And I dug all the way up and down this little grassy patch. I couldn't find one area that I could dig to turn the soil to hope to plant any corn. And I started digging out back, and finally I found a little patch way in the back by some trees where I could actually dig it up and planted, I don't know, 4 or 5 rows of corn there. But had I tried to plant in this stuff out here, how successful do you think my crop would have been? Not a chance. If I could even get the seed in the ground, I mean, I'm telling you, it was that stony, right? And even if I had got it in this little thin layer of soil there, and maybe it does shoot right up, the first storm that comes by, or the sun beats on it all day for 2 weeks straight, what do you think is going to happen to that little stalk of corn that's trying to grow? It's going to get blown over. It's going to dry up and wither. It doesn't have a snowball's chance to grow out there, does it? Why? Because it's so stony, it's so rocky, the roots can't grow down. And of course, it needs the roots to supply the nutrients and everything that the plant needs to grow. Amen? So roots are very, very, very important when we're talking about growing stuff. And in this parable, Jesus is sharing with us that roots are important to us as well, right? Because the Word of God can be planted in our hearts. But if our hearts are stony, if I can put it that way, there's no chance for the roots to grow down, right? There's no chance for that seed to grow and bear any fruit. Amen? And what I mean by stones or by stony ground is, what would happen if I had some thoughts, some ideas, and some mindsets, and some systems of thinking that did not line up with the Word of God, or did not line up with how the kingdom operates? Those would be the stony places in my heart, right? And listen, the storms that come along and try to blow over the corn, we'll just say in my example. The storms come to the good ground where the corn is coming up, right? But the good ground, the roots are able to go down, and it's able to withstand the wind that blows and the rain that falls and the sun that tries to scorch it. In the good ground, the roots are able to go down deep, and it's able to withstand that stuff. Amen? It's the same storm that comes to the corn that's trying to grow in the stony places. Same situation, same storm affects the good ground as affects the stony ground. The corn stalk's able to withstand the storm here because of the roots. It's not because of here, because of the stony places, no roots. But are we done? Is that the end of the story? Not by a long shot. Because what can we do? What would happen if we took the stones out of the ground? So there's no stones there. Or at least less stones than what there was previously. What would happen then? What would that do to our chances of the corn stalk growing up and being able to withstand the storm? I'd say it'd have a pretty good chance. If we get rid of the stones. If we get rid of the ideas, we get rid of the thoughts, we get rid of the mindsets, we get rid of the systems of thinking that don't line up with kingdom, that don't line up with the Word of God. We can take that stony ground and we can actually transform it into good ground. Amen? We see this happen all the time in Sozo Ministry. We have a powerful but very simple couple of questions that we have in the context of Sozo. And it goes something like this. Father God, are there any lies I'm believing about you? Are there any lies I'm believing about myself? Are there any lies I'm believing about my situation? It's something along those lines, right? And Father God is faithful. He's a good father. And he points out and shows us those lies. He shows us those stony places that prevent the word, the seed, the Word of God from growing down and having strong roots. He is faithful, and he points those things out to us. And then we have the opportunity to choose to get rid of that stone, to get rid of that lie. And we lead people in a prayer, you know, I renounce the lie that that you don't love me. I renounce the lie that you would abandon me, Father God. And we deal with that lie and we take that stone out and chuck it, right? And then we ask another simple but very powerful question. Father God, truth about you? Or what is the truth about me? Or what is the truth about my situation? And again, he's so good. He's so faithful. He loves us so much. He speaks the truth to us. And what's he doing? He's changing our stony ground of our heart into good ground, where the seed, the Word of God, can grow. Amen? And so maybe you've been struggling with something, and maybe you feel that you have some stony ground in your heart, and you're like, I think I need some help in getting these stones out, getting these lies out. We would love to schedule a Sozo appointment with you. You can easily do that by going to our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. Of course, this is available for our friends online as well. You can shoot us a quick email at christianlifesozo@gmail.com. We can get that scheduled. We'd love to walk alongside you and help you to get victory in this area. But that's what the Lord can do when we're willing to get the stones out. Amen? Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And when we look that word up, tribulation, in the original language, it's the word thlipsis. And what it means is pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. That is thlipsis, putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered. Thlipsis is like spiritual bench pressing. The word is used of crushing grapes or olives to press. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have thlipsis. You will have tribulation. Now, a lot of times, our point of view of this tribulation that comes into our life, or this testing that comes into our life, we have a negative view of it a lot of times, right? Like, oh, this has come to destroy me. Oh, this has come to wipe me out. Oh, this has come to fill in the blank. But I would offer to us today that God's perspective is a little bit different than that, right? His perspective is, my son or daughter is going to the gym today. They're going to do some spiritual bench press. They're going to get stronger as a result of consistently going through this. Amen? They're going to get stronger than they were in the past. That's what we have the opportunity to do. You know, Mike Deal and I, we go to the Planet Fitness several times a week, and we work out. And we do this, right? And we're both doing more on the bench press now. We're lifting more weight now than we could 8 months ago, right, Mike? And as we are consistent to continue to work those muscles, we're going to be lifting more 8 months from now than we are today. Amen? And we have the same opportunity spiritually to grow and to mature and to get stronger as we embrace the thlipsis that God allows to come into our lives. And as we see it as a benefit and not as something we would want to run from. Like, forget it. No way. You won't get me to step foot inside the gym. No way. Because I'm sore, because I hurt, because I don't like it. No. As we embrace the gym, we get stronger. That's what's happened in Mike and I's life. Right? As we embrace the tribulation. And I know it seems maybe counterintuitive. But if we can ask God to give us his perspective of this, it can revolutionize how we see, really, life in general, right? In other words, I'm not just going from one crisis to another. I'm actually going from one workout to another. And God is working all things together for good in me as I endure and engage the testing and the tribulation that he allows to come to my life. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 4. You guys okay? So here's an example that we talk about from time to time where Jesus himself, well, let's just read it. In Luke chapter 4, we'll start right in verse 1 there. It says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Right? It wasn't by accident that he ended up where he ended up. It wasn't a good idea, and he thought, oh, you know what? I'll go into the wilderness today. His best friend didn't come to him and say, Jesus, you know, I think you should go to this wilderness place. I was out there a couple weeks ago. I think you'd really enjoy it. No. How did he end up in the wilderness? Well, clearly, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the gym, which we'll see in just a moment, right? A spiritual gym. Verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Okay, the workout has begun, right? The workout has begun. The enemy of Jesus' soul, the enemy of our souls, will try to throw lies at us, will try to get us tripped up, will try to use whatever tactic he can to steal, kill, and destroy. That's a very real reality that each of us face. That was the reality that Jesus was facing here. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. He's in the midst of fasting for 40 days. He probably wants nothing more than to command this stone to become bread, right? His stomach is talking to him, I bet. Would yours be if you fasted 40 days and 40 nights? Some of us can't go 40 minutes without eating, right? 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry. This sounds like a good idea, what the enemy's suggesting. And look how Jesus responds. He's in the spiritual Planet Fitness. He's bench pressing here. He's facing this thalipsis. He's facing tribulation. And in the midst of it, Jesus answered him, verse 4 says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Right? And do you think that brought weakness to Jesus? Or do you think that emboldened him and brought strength to him? Yes, strength to him. Enemy's trying to feed him this lie. Enemy's trying to feed him a crock. How many of you have been there where the enemy's tried to feed you a lie? The enemy's tried to give you a crock. And maybe on the surface it sounds good. Like Jesus, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Turn this stone into bread. But the Word of God, he came back with the Word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And he's emboldened by that. He's strengthened by that. He's spiritually bench pressing when he does that. Okay, so verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. And what he's saying is actually true. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, mankind gave up their rule, their authority on earth, and guess who got it? The enemy did. So he's absolutely right in what he's saying. But the word, Jesus realizes he's in the midst of some thalipsis. He's in the midst of a spiritual workout. And am I going to go along with what this joker's trying to tell me? No way, no how. Verse 8, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And can you just imagine the roots of the Word of God that are planted in Jesus' heart? They're going deeper in the midst of this, in the midst of this thalipsis, in the midst of this testing, in the midst of this tribulation, where he won't acquiesce to what the enemy's trying to get him to do, but he is standing firm on the Word of God, and the roots of that Word are going deeper in his heart. and getting stronger. Amen. The same thing that's happening to Jesus in this scenario is available to who? All of us as sons and daughters. When we take it for what it is, we're in the midst of thlipsis at times, tribulation, testing. The enemy's trying to get me fouled up here, right? He's trying to get me to suppress the truth. He's trying to get me to exchange the truth for a lie. He's trying to get me to walk in bondage. I'm not going to do it. I know whose I am. I'm a son of the Most High. And His Word rules and reigns in my life because I have taken a posture of humility. I've chosen to put the King in His position, and I submit to Him. And I submit to His Word. And as I act on that Word, those roots go down deeper. And I get stronger, right? And I'm spiritually bench pressing more now than I did 6 months ago. As I make that choice, as I make that decision, it's available to all of us. And it not only affects us, but then we get to encourage others as well. And we get to see the maturity in their lives. We get to see them get stronger over time as well. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And we're in a season now where we need to do that. We need to mature. We need to grow. We need to get any of those stones out of our heart so that the Word of God, when it's planted, can grow down deep and have good, strong roots so that whenever we start to see an influx of new believers, we're not speaking out of that place where stony ground is what's in our hearts. We're speaking from a place where it's good ground, where the Word is shooting up and bearing fruit, and we're imparting that to these new believers. Amen? Let's read on a little further. Verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God..." Isn't it interesting? Each time, that's the introduction. If you are the Son of God. Can I just suggest to us, Jesus knows who He is. It's not a matter of if I'm the Son of God. I am the Son of God, period. And I don't have to prove that to anyone. I am the Son of God. And I live from that place of knowing that I am the Son of God. And as I live from that place, my life manifests the truth that I am the Son of God. That was Jesus. What about us? We're sons and daughters of the Most High. Let's get that settled in our hearts. Let's get that settled in our spirit. I am a son of the Most High. I am a daughter of the Most High. And as I walk in that reality, my life will manifest that I am a son or daughter of the Most High. Amen. Amen. Listen, the good seed has been planted in me, right? It's not been bad seed. It's been good seed, the seed of the gospel, the seed of the Word of God. And as I choose to walk in it, I will manifest. We don't guess when I plant the corn in the ground. We don't say, boy, I hope lemons don't come up. I want lemons. We don't say, oh, I wonder if avocados will come up. Or I wonder if that'll be just a weed or a briar bush. When we plant corn, we expect to get corn. When we plant the Word of God in the good ground of our hearts, we should expect kingdom to come up, kingdom to manifest. Amen? So he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from him, from here. Verse 10, for it is written, now this is so interesting to me. The first two times he tries to trip him up, right? And both times Jesus responds with what? Scripture. And so now, the enemy says, okay, well, yeah, this Jesus, he really knows the Word of God. This is what I'll do. I'll take the Word of God, and I'll twist it. and I'll get him to foul up that way, right? I'll take the word of God. He obviously knows the word of God, but I'll take the word of God and I'll twist it, and I'll get him to fall that way. Because look, he starts to quote Psalm 91. Throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And the enemy of our souls will do the same thing with us. He will try to take Scripture and pervert it and twist it to trip us up, to get us to sin, to walk in something that God never intended for us to walk. But I love Jesus' response, verse 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so he sees through what the enemy is trying to do. And again, he stands strong on the word. And the word that's been planted in his heart, again, the roots go deeper. And he's spiritually bench pressing, and he's getting stronger in the midst of this thalipsis, this tribulation. And what he is modeling for us is available to each one of us as well, if we will see it for what it is, and if we will engage in what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. It says, verse 13, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This isn't the only time Jesus is going to be in the spiritual gym. There's going to be other times where the enemy tries to throw a curveball at him, to trip him up. So it is with us as well. And if we see life as, I just go from one crisis to another, and all this bad stuff happens to me, and it's just meant to destroy me, and I don't want to deal with it anymore. I just want to get away from it. We're totally missing what God wants to do. If we can say, I know it's tough. I'm not saying it's easy, right? Sometimes I hurt when I go to the Planet Fitness, right? Sometimes we hurt. I'm sore the next day. But I realize the good that comes of it as well. And if we can do that, change our perspective, ask God to help us to see it the way he sees it, we can experience the growth as well. And then, so Jesus has gone through this experience. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's tempted by the devil. And three times, at least, the enemy comes. And he's even trying to twist Scripture to get him to sin. And guess what? Jesus had a good workout. Jesus had a good workout. And Jesus got stronger as a result of going through that process. Look at what verse 14 says. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He returned. Did he return just a puddle of his former self? Did he return just wringing his hands that, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do? No. He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I suggest to us that the power that was available to Jesus is available also to each one of us? Yes, the power that Jesus walked in is also available to sons and daughters of the Most High. Can I suggest that the same power, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is resident in us? Yes, yes. And as we will engage the thalipsis that the Lord allows to come into our life from time to time, we will have access to walk in that power. More power than what I walked in previously. Amen? If I'm faithful with the workout, the spiritual workout that God gives me to do, there's a reward for that. Is more power we can walk in. Who would like to walk in more power? This guy right here would, and I know everyone here would as well. And it's available to us. And so let's recognize what the Lord is doing when tribulation comes. In this world, you will have tribulation. You will have thalipsis. I've overcome the world. And I will overcome through you as you allow me to. And I will cause you to walk in greater power as a result of going through that process than what you had previously. And I will take you from glory to glory to glory. Amen? So let's allow the Lord to shift our perspective and engage in that as he allows that to happen. Amen? Amen. We're going to go into communion here in just a moment. Stacy, if you would come up. And I want to sign off from our friends online. It's been great having you with us today. Again, if you have any questions about our church, feel free to check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. God bless you. It's great having you with us today. We will see you next time.